السلام عليكم.
Give me a minute here. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Muslims, peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum again. We put our complete trust in the one Lord who has created everything, whose proper name is Allah, in the Quran, and we seek Him for assistance, we turn to Him for forgiveness, we bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Him alone, there is nothing like unto Him, there is no partner with Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. We pray the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet and upon his descendants, upon his companions, the righteous all. Ameen. Well, let me first explain why I'm here. I shouldn't have to explain why I'm here. For the believers, I shouldn't have to explain why I'm here, because Muslims are supposed to want to be with each other, and any time a Muslim visits, we are happy to receive the Muslim. Right, that's for you to say, I don't think. But for those who are waiting to see us die, kill over, and fall over, and be buried, I have to explain why I'm here. I had to come here. I was invited to meet an important guest here, a representative of the Islamic Call Society that's based in Libya. And I was invited to meet him here, and I promised him I would be here today, and I hope to see him before returning back to Chicago. And I said, well, I have to make my visit more worthwhile, so I called in a had the secretary call and asked Imam Rashid if he wanted me to do the ta'aleen today. And he said, get the hell on over here right away. Now, he would say that to me, you know. Tell him to get the hell on over here. Get on over here right away. Tell him, come on over, come on. See, why is he asking the question like that? But our religion teaches us respect. And no matter who we are or what we are, we have to respect everything. And he's an imam just like I'm an imam. And I don't come in the mosque here and visit his mosque without getting his invitation, or knowing that he has welcomed me, because he represents you. He should represent you if he doesn't. Yes. So that's why I'm here. And I didn't come to get $1 million from him or anything like that. So don't think that I'm We got to learn how to stop putting our hands out to other people.
Right.
And if we have to beg, the most dignified place to beg is at home.
Right.
Beg each other.
That's right.
I don't believe in begging other people. In fact, you shouldn't have to. The person who does not beg is more honored in our religion than the person who begs.
Right.
Although God has told us to help the beggars. But they don't have great honor, no. Those who pay zakat from their own work, from their own labor. Nobody gave it to them. The welfare didn't give it to them. They're paying into the zakat from their own labor. Those have more honor. And those who give sadaqah and who give more than just what is asked of them. Because they go beyond that. They're generous with their giving, their contribution. They even have more honor. Those who give without being asked to give, they even have more honor. This is our religion. So there are grades of honor. And the lowest one is that one that begs and gives nothing. That's the lowest level. Just beg and do nothing. Don't create nothing. Don't produce nothing. Don't give anything. All the time looking for somebody to give them something. Those are the worst. Now, I will tell you my topic in just a moment. But first, let's read from Quran. It's chapter 2 of the Quran, Al-Baqarah, and this is the 20, section 18, the 148th ayah, verse. وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يَأْتِي بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. To each is a goal to which Allah turns him. Then strive you all together as in a race towards all that is good. Whosoever of you, wheresoever you are, Allah will bring you together. For Allah has power over all things. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. And from whensoever you standeth forth, whatever place you may be, you may be stationed, turn thy face in the direction of the sacred mosque that's in Mecca, the first house built to the worship of God, built for all man, as Allah says in Quran, highly praises He, built for the benefit of all people. Bunya linnas, the first house. That is the mosque, the sacred house, the sacred mosque at Mecca. So God says, wheresoever you may be, or from whensoever you standeth forth, turn your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. That is indeed the truth from thy Lord, and Allah is not unmindful of what you do. To each is a goal to which Allah turns him. To each is a goal. So they are separate goals. There are individual goals that we have, our concerns that we give ourselves to, our private concerns. Then strive together as in a race towards all that is good. My private interest, my private concern, in order to be accepted, it must be good. It cannot be unlawful, it cannot be bad. In order for it to be accepted, it must be good. Then, in my own situation, with my own concern, with my own private interest, I'm supposed to join other Muslims in the promotion of all that is good. So whatever my concern is, it should be good, and then I should have a bigger concern for my concern that is good, and I should be certain that my private concern that is good is also connected with the major, the big concern that is good, and we all move together, cooperating with each other, complementing each other, supporting each other, with the good that is our common concern. With the good that is our common concern. If you have a halal business, then your good is all of our concern. But that's your halal business. Now, I might be a doctor, and that should be your concern too. Good doctor, good medicine, good health care, huh? Huh? Yes, accountable doctors that will give the best treatment to their patients that fear God. When they want to make more money than they should have. They won't cheat the patient. I won't give him inferior treatment because he's not of their class, of their caliber, of their particular group, you know. So all of us have the interest. Whatever your interest is, if it is good, it's all of our interest. That's what Allah is telling us here. That whatever interest you have separately to qualify in this religion, as being worth recognizing, your interest, your private interest, must be good. And if it is good, it is also the interest of every other Muslim. Right. Though I am not myself dedicated to that particular field, or to that occupation, or that job, or that interest, I have my own. But if yours is good, I share yours too. If yours is in my heart, I want to see you advance. So see, when we all share in the promotion of all that is good, we all support each other. And we complement each other. And that biggest good is the work to please your Lord. And that's the point here too. Turn yourselves toward the sacred mosque. That mosque was built for the worship of the one God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord over everything. It was built for the worship of the one God, and also for the benefit of all people. See, these universal concerns is what save us or qualify us for acceptance before God. And no matter how small your good is, it is approved by God. Yes. And God is, as Allah says in the Quran, He is appreciative. He is appreciative. No matter how small the thing you do is, He's appreciative for whatever good His creatures do. Yes. So we are all supposed to be united in this interest. that we promote only good, that we give our labor to only that that is good. The prophet says, peace and the blessing on be upon him. He said, Allah, God, is good, and he accepts nothing but good. Peace and blessings be upon the prophet. Surely God is good, and he accepts nothing but that which is good. And God says in the Quran, I repeat, to each is a goal to which Allah turns him. Then strive together as in a race. We are not just to make an effort. Allah is prompting us. Allah is pushing us to make a significant effort. To make a strong effort. To make a continuous effort. Because a race is not one step. To race, you got to keep it up. And the word that's used in the Quran means just that. Move those legs and keep going. So here a picture is given, a description, an illustration is given by God in the Quran to get us to understand what our attitude should be, what our devotion should be, what our attitude should be, and what our effort should be. The attitude should be moral, determined. It should be determined by what is morally acceptable. You know, if we just could accept that, we could get rid of a lot of the bad feelings we have among us. If all of us would understand that our spirit and our attitude should be determined by our moral base, our moral form. People with bad moral form, corrupt moral form, we expect for them to have bad attitudes when they come in among righteous people. But we shouldn't expect that of believers, though they carry sin. Because the believer should carry sin with a dislike for it. So he's not offended or made uncomfortable when he comes among the righteous, because really that's his heart's purpose too, to be righteous. Wherever you are, Allah will bring you together. He is the condition for our unity. You want to be united? God said, you ain't going to be united. Your unity won't be established. You cannot unite and have it last. It won't last. Your unity will be short-lived. Unless you unite in the right way. I was speaking at Loop Junior College. College that I attended and got my first experience in college there, in Loop Junior College, Chicago. It was quick, but I hope to go back one day if I don't be too old. If my eyes hold up and everything, you know. If I know I'm senile, I won't go back. As I was speaking to them, and after the address, I opened for questions. And a young man, dressed very neat, looking business-like, and very intelligent-looking young man, he let me know right away he's a follower of Minister Farrakhan. And I don't know whether it's Imam Farrakhan or not yet, so I don't know. I still say Minister Farrakhan, so I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I heard he's going to change that. It's called Imam. They're going to be Imam like we are. Anyway, he said he was a follower, and he made some statements, his observations on the problem of our people, and after he made his statements, he said, well, since we are not all the same, and we are not all alike, and we are not going to agree, all of us, say whether we're Muslims or not, we're going to have our differences. said, do you think, Brother Imam, he said, that economic power is something that we all can unite for? I said, no. I said, if we are Muslims, we cannot unite upon any base except taqwa. That's not from me, that's from the Quran, that's from Allah. That's from Allah. The base for us uniting has to be taqwa. Muslims don't come together to make money. We come together to please Allah. And once we do that, then other things follow in their places. It's not that money is not important to us. Money is very important, extremely important to us. But that's not where we start. We start with, we all, how come a Muslim is not a banker? A Muslim is not necessarily a banker, a financier, a money maker. That's not why Muslims are together. Muslims are together because we believe in the same God, we believe in the same messenger, and we follow the same message. That's why we are together. We're not together because we want to make some money. Now, if we come together because we want some money, that unity will be short-lived. In fact, it's not a unity. It's not even a unity. No. The unity is your own self-interest. It's not really unity, it's self-interest. But see, obeying God is big. It's big. Because obeying God requires that I obey Him when it's against my interest. So if we can come together on something like that, we will have unity. Because your interest will eventually conflict with mine unless we have a stronger influence, a force, protecting us. Huh? That's why we have the law. And man's law has never been as effective as God's law for protecting the interests of people from each other. For a righteous believer, he will not injure his brother. He will not take advantage of his brother. His brother is safe, and he don't have to worry about a judge being around. Well, we got what we need to get there. But do we have the sense in the heart? Or I should have said the heart and the sense. The heart is first and then the sense. Praise be to Allah. You know, you people are good people. If you weren't good people, you wouldn't be here on this floor. So you people who have condemned yourself and say, I'm bad, I'm going out there, but I know I ain't no good. You're wrong. I'm right. You're good. You just don't know yourself yet. Now, it takes a good person to come out here and listen to me for 2 hours. They may think they're bad, but they ain't bad. That's why I have the patience and love to keep coming. And you may think I walk out of here with a big bag of money, but you see me with a big brown bag, it's some fish or something in there. Ain't no money in there. I don't come here for money. I stay on the south side of Chicago if it was money. I don't come here for no money. Because all the money we get here, it ought to go to carry the big weight, this big load, this big burden you got here. So I tell the imam, I say, no, don't take care of the things here first.
Right.
No, I don't deserve any pat on the back for that. That's just the duty of a common believer. To put first things first, and to not the burden of a person who's already burdened. Huh? Allah says He does not burden anyone bearing a burden with the burden of another.
Now
you already carrying your burden. Now, put another one's burden on you just like you? Huh? Yeah. You already carrying a burden. It's like a mule already weighted down, and another mule weighted down too, but they both are weighted down. And you take the weight off of one mule and put that on the other mule and let the other mule go without weight. That ain't right. And that's what you all are doing when you don't share the burden here. You're putting all the burden on a few. And that's wrong. And you walking free of burden. That's not right. If there's a burden to carry for the masjid or for the Muslim, all of us should share the responsibility for carrying that burden. The only ones excused are those who are feeble, insane, sick, just out of it. They can't do anything. They're excused. But if they got money, they're still not excused. Well, sometimes you're feeble and broke up and you can't do nothing, but you already got yours. So you're supposed to share it. And believe me, I don't speak unless I know or feel very sure that what I'm saying is Quran or Sunnah. It may not be in the exact words, but that's where I'm coming from. Yes. Now, God says, from wherever you stand forth, from wherever you may be located, wherever you are, turn your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Do we have a blackboard? We don't have a blackboard. That's all right. Can you bring it over? I'd like to use it to illustrate something there. Turn your face toward the sacred mosque. Drive you all together as in a race toward all that is good. Wherever you are, Allah will bring you all together. So the unity of the believers is a unity that is in faith, based upon faith in God, and also it is a unity of people who have accepted more life and moral excellence over immorality, corruption, wrongdoing. So they are a moral body and a God-fearing body. That's the condition. They are a moral body and a God-fearing body. And God is saying that's the condition. That's the condition for getting my help. That's the condition for getting unity. A moral body fearing God. A moral body believing in God. Praise be to Allah. Isn't that simple? And no true believer in any religion will have any argument with that. Good Christian, good Jew, any good believer in God will accept that, say, yes, well, that's right. They believe the same. This religion is universal. Then the next verse says, from wherever you are, from wherever you may be located, as in the language here, from whensoever thou standest forth, turn thy face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Now we know this means for prayer. First, the first application is that this is how we are to orientate ourselves in prayer, because God says in the beginning earlier that we have seen you, O Muhammad, looking up to the heavens, carrying a burden on your heart. Because he were in the earlier part of his mission directing believers to pray in the same direction that the Jews were going, Jerusalem, toward Jerusalem. Then God brought the revelation saying, we have observed you, God have observed you, looking up into the sky, and now he says, turn your, he says, I will give you a Qibla. I will now turn you to a Qibla, give you a direction that will please you. Meaning that the prophet was doing that, but he was not pleased. His heart was not rested while he was turning toward Jerusalem in prayer. Then God says, now turn your face toward the sacred monster house in Mecca, Becca. Yes. So God directed him there. And then the later, these verses that follow tell all of us that to each of us is a goal. Those people who first turned toward Jerusalem, they had an interest. Their turning toward Jerusalem was determined by their interest. Now God says, now you turn your face. I will give you a Qibla that will please you. You are not Israel. Your interest is not Israel. Your interest is God and humanity. All people. So turn your face now toward the house built for all people. Buniyal in there. Built for all people. Yes. When we pray our prayers, though we have our individual prayers called the Sunnah prayers, we don't pray Sunnah prayers in congregation. We pray Sunnah prayers individually. No imam is leading us, and no one else should be leading us. To do your Sunnah prayers properly, you're supposed to be leading yourself. But it is not enough to do your Sunday prayers in privacy. When you come out in congregation, you're not supposed to say, well, Sunday is an obligation, a private obligation. I will do my Sunday prayers at home. If there's some emergency or some reason to justify that, okay, you can go home and do your Sunday prayers. But if you have no emergency or anything, you're supposed to do your Sunday prayers in the mosque, where the public, Muslim public, will see you doing your Sunday prayer. What is that indicating? What is that suggesting? What message is coming to us from that? Prophet Muhammad did his Sunday prayers before people, in the public. That's how come we knew his Sunday prayers. It was witnessed. So, and we do the same. So, what is that telling us? That is telling us that in our religion, private matters are respected as private matters. But private life must be attested to. Private life must be witnessed. Because private life can go off track and threaten the public life. So we want to see you in the public, indicating your private concern, your private interest, your private commitment. Let us see it in the public. Isn't that wonderful? And we know what brings the great civilizations, great nations down. Most of the time it's private interest. The immorality that toppled the great empires of old, of Greece, Rome. It wasn't a public immorality. It started with one or two people. And it spread until it brought the whole people down. The greed that sets in. It doesn't start with public consent, with public approval. It starts with a private thing. It starts as a private thing. And it grows and grows and brings the whole society down if it's not checked in time. Yes. So God wants us to understand that certainly your private life is a private matter up to a point. That's right.
Them in your private life begin to affect the lives of others. It's no more your business only. It's your business and our business. Because now it's affecting us. Now, in civilized societies, they believe the same way. But look how brutally it's demonstrated in our religion. A man has to be able to shoulder his own government. Though he participate in the government of the many, he has to be able to shoulder his own government. What are you doing at home for yourself and your family?
That's right.
You have to shoulder your own government.
Right.
You have to be able to shoulder your private government, right?
Right.
Hey, you say he's an imam. Are you an imam too? We all are imams. Can you lead prayer by yourself? If you can't, then you're short.
Right.
You're falling short.
Right.
You're supposed to be able to lead prayer by yourself. Because that man fall dead, you should move right out of the ranks and take his place and lead the prayer. Shared responsibility. Huh? The most excellent democracy. Requires of all of us that we be men. Oh, yes. This is not religion of men and boys. This is religion of men. And we want the boys to join the men soon. We don't wait till he's 18 or 21. 12 years old, you're supposed to be able to do what men are doing. Or at least join us. Let's get it on. Let's start. Let's get the lessons going right now. Join the circle of the men. Some even at 7. Yeah, bring them in at 7. I think 12 is a good age. When you start getting hit by puberty and sexual appetite, it's time for him to join the men and think about bigger things. Mm-hmm. And really the man that Prophet Muhammad left in Mecca, responsible for the dawah, the preaching, keeping the course of the religion right in Mecca after the conquest. By our judgment, in this society, he was a minor. He was not even a grown-up. But they didn't say, hey, this boy's too young. No. That society, that you come into the responsibilities earlier. You know, Elijah Muhammad, he invited communists and atheists and Masons and everybody. They say, here's a strange thing and a curious thing and a fascinating thing. And they just all came to see what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying and doing. And got attracted, and a lot of them didn't have no sense where they were. So they got in among him and got hooked. There's strong bait. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had some strong bait. Strong bait. He caught Muhammad Ali. He had his mouth open. Yes. So, dear believers, I now turn to section 22, verse 177 of the same chapter, Al-Baqarah. And let us read under the heading of righteousness. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. It is not righteousness that you turn your faces toward the east or west, but it is righteousness to believe in Allah. It is righteousness to believe in God. So to not believe in God is a moral wrong. Do you see what your religion is saying?
It's plain, but how many of us hear all that is being said? It's a moral wrong for you not to believe in the one God, just like it's a moral wrong for a parent to disown a child, to disown a good parent who provided everything for him and made possible his good situation, and then that parent be disregarded by that child. That's a moral sin, a great one, heavy moral sin, and all of you all can share that, especially fathers and mothers. I should say especially mothers and fathers could share that. We know that it's a terrible moral problem in a child that will reject or disregard a parent that made a good situation for it. Your own parent. So think about God. He didn't father you as the sexual fathers father you, but he created you. So he is a higher father in the allegorical term. Huh? A much greater father in the allegorical sense. Allegorical term, by the allegorical term father. Huh? Yes! And now, for a creature to knowingly, say, oh, I don't believe in no God. Why you don't believe in a God? Did you do this? Is it heaven? Or is it organized? Does it look like nobody did it? Or it looks like something great did it? The common sense person can accept that something great did this. And no matter what it was, you can't conceive it, you can't perceive a form for it or whatever. No matter what your situation is with your eyes, you should acknowledge that something great did this, and I respect it. If you're a decent person. So we believe that the worst of sin is to deny God. Say there is no God. That's the worst of the sins. That's the worst injustice. That's the most unjust act that man commits, that he says, no, there's no God. I don't recognize a God. And anytime you say you don't recognize the real God, you're already guilty of shirk. You're already guilty of shirk. You don't have to form a God and say, this is my God, to be guilty of shirk. Soon as you don't recognize the real God, you are guilty of shirk, because man cannot help but give his service and his worship to something. God says he has not created men nor gin for any purpose except his worship. That means if you ain't worshiping him, you're worshiping something else. Yes! He has given you that nature. You cannot escape it. It's in your being to worship. So if you don't worship God, then your God, the thing that you're worshiping, given that to, what you're given that to, can be found in your life. If it ain't a wife, if it ain't a woman, it's something else. If it ain't money, if it ain't glory, it's something else. You're guilty of giving the worship that is for God to something else. Anytime you say there's no God, then the worst of creatures, some of the worst of creatures are those that follow their own desires and make their own desires their God. Now, when have we read in a book of religion or mythology that a man or a woman structured an image or a concept to represent their desire? And began praying to that, say, this is my God. That has never happened. But the fact that you do that is evidence against you that you have made your desires your God. Because your desires are what you live for. Your desires are what rule you. Your desires are what you sacrifice for. Your desires are what you devote yourself to exclusively. Therefore, your desires are your God. Huh? So we want to see things in concrete too much.
Right.
Say, hey, the book is talking about eyes. Okay, well, cat eyes or human eyes, well, eyes. Might not be either. The eye has a function.
Right.
It is an organ with a function.
Right.
So I can use that language, eye, to talk about another eye in your heart or in your soul. Huh? Or in the mind of the people. I can see something functioning like an eye in the mind of society. And I'll say that eye is blind. Now don't you look for no cat eye or mule's eye or human's eye. It's allegorical.
Yes. Praise be to Allah.
So it is not righteousness to turn your faces east and west. God is lifting up his servant. He's lifting up his, I don't mean the prophet now. I'm talking about not only the prophet was lifted up above that before he was mentioned.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
He didn't turn to false gods, turn to idols.
Right.
He wasn't that kind of person. His senses were protected by that. His great moral development protected his senses even before he was mentioned or shown the light of Al-Islam. Yes. His nature was right. His nature was whole and intact. His nature was perfect.